Birmingham was a great centre for non-conformism, with its influence growing outwards to places like Warwick, Leamington and Coventry, and eventually down to places with lesser concentrations of population. John Wesley visited Coventry in 1779, in 1782, and again in 1786. Earlier, in 1764, he had visited Dublin.
Tuesday, January 24, 1764, about noon, we came to Dublin. At one, I went to the marketplace and proclaimed the name of the Lord to a huge, unwieldy, noisy multitude, the greater part of them seemed in no wise to know wherefore they were come together. I continued speaking about half an hour, and many grew serious and attentive, till some of Satan's servants pressed in, raging and blaspheming and throwing whatever came to hand, and then retired to the house from which I came. The multitude poured after, and covered over with dirt, many that were near me, but I only had a few specks. I preached in Wednesbury at 4 to a nobler people, and was greatly comforted amongst them. So I was likewise in the morning, on Wednesday the 25th. How does a praying congregation strengthen the preacher?
In March of 1764, John Wesley also visited Birmingham.
Wednesday, March the 21st, we had an exceedingly large congregation at Birmingham in what was formerly the Playhouse. Happy would it be if all the playhouses in the kingdom were converted to so good a use. After service, the mob gathered and threw some dirt and stones at those who were going out, but it is probable that they will soon be armed, as some of them are in jail already. Few endeavoured to make a disturbance the next evening during the preaching, but it was lost labour. The congregation would not be diverted from taking earnest heed to the things that were spoken.
And in his 80th year, 1782, John Wesley wrote in his diary,
"Sunday, July 14th, I heard a sermon in the old church at Birmingham, which the preacher uttered with great vehemence against those hair-brained, itinerant enthusiasts. But he totally missed his mark, having not the least conception of the persons whom he undertook to describe."
Oh,
the music which we sing comes from manuscripts and also from printed sources. But the great thing is to find a manuscript and then work out, in many instances, because there are no words attached to it, what the word might be. Find out what the tune is. Find out where it came from. And see how it has migrated away from the original printed tune. And it is also interesting to compare, when you are lucky enough to do so, the different settings of the same song which come from adjoining parishes, because many of them have been translated by ear, by oral tradition, and somebody has written down what they think they have found. So, I always have this plea to anybody sitting here. If you find a manuscript book, which is usually probably about that fat, alright, it's usually long, and it's got possibly 6 lines of music or 8 lines of music going across, and some handwritten words, which are quite obviously not dance tunes, but they are sign tunes. Please let us know. Don't throw them away. If you can get them back to us, we will come and sing them to you, because there is sometimes the most amazing music there, which has not actually been from the printed source. There are local composers. Heard about Handel, they've heard this music, the village blacksmith, Chinese hand, the village carpenter, all the trades are represented.